Dear listeners, Sai Ram and welcome to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, a series of conversations with former students of Bhagwan's educational institutions. Today we play for you the fourth part of the conversation with Mr. K. Arun Kumar. Hailing from Visakhapatnam in Andhra Pradesh, Arun did his graduation in civil engineering in the Indian Institute of Technology, IIT Kharagpur. In 1999, he stepped into the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning for his management degree, which he completed in 2001. And after this, he was most blessed to serve Baba at very close quarters for 4 years till 2005. During this period, following Baba's directions, he also served in Radio Sai. He currently lives and works in Hyderabad in Andhra Pradesh. In the first three parts of this conversation, Arun shared about how he became a student in Baba's college and some of the telling moments with Bhagwan which taught invaluable lessons of life. In today's episode, he goes on to share how he happened to join Radio Sai and recount memories of how Bhagwan guided him during those initial years of Radio Sai. This was recorded on July 14th, 2013. And in conversation with him is Radio Sai's Bishu Prushti.
So he didn't give me a formal job, which would ensure that I got some salary or something.
Yes.
And 3 months had passed and my resources were almost empty.
So actually it's a very difficult situation because, you know, you can't go and tell Swami, give me a job, because actually he's giving you some job.
Yeah, I'm actually doing something really wonderful.
Wonderful. But there is nothing to
buy your needs. I can't ask from God a salary for serving him.
Yeah. Actually it's a very precarious situation.
Yeah, very peculiar
situation.
Because
you can't tell Swami, give me a job.
Yeah.
You can't tell Swami, give me money. You don't know what to do.
Exactly. So I was running out of my resources and I just had 1,000 rupees left, and one day I got really frustrated and I went to the Ganesha in front of
You didn't want to ask your parents.
I didn't want to ask my parents. That was one of the reasons. I thought it's time, because even when I did my MBA, I didn't put any burden, because whatever I had saved when I did a job for 1 year, I kind of used for the MBA. And of course, Swami gave the entire education free of cost. So all the thing, only I had to take care of my expenses in terms of the food. So I didn't want to ask my parents. And that day when I got really frustrated, I stood in front of the Ganesha, which is there in front of the Mandir gate, the Ganesha gate. And I vented out my frustration inside my heart, saying, I'm not going to ask my parents anymore. You have given me a duty with you, but you refuse to, you know, give me anything to sustain me. You just want to make sure that I come with you in darshan, but you don't want to take care of my material needs. Where am I going to go? I'm not going to go and ask my parents now. You have to take care. If you don't take care, I'm going to live like this without any resources. I'm going to fast, but I'm not going to ask anybody. Now it's your responsibility to take care. This is what I actually told Swami in front of Ganesha. I was very agitated actually. At the same time, as you said, I couldn't go and tell Swami, oh, give me a job, I need money. It would be quite
quite a thing,
a battering to my image of, but it was a fact. And I have to be honest.
No one really has any clue of what is going on. You're saying Arun is so lucky.
Yeah.
He's going.
Well, I was.
Yes. When no one knows what is going on inside.
Yeah.
A lot of things.
But still, as Swami said, you can't feed spirituality on an empty stomach. So the empty stomach was beginning to raise its voice now. So the next day morning, Swami came for darshan and he didn't make any gesture. And even I forgot about all my frustration that I vented in the previous evening, and everything went on as usual. Swami went into the interview room, and before closing the door, he gestured with his finger and he called me inside. Mm-hmm. That was quite unexpected. I went inside, and then he called G. Venkatraman sir, who was sitting in the veranda, and he said, this boy, you appoint him in our Radio Sai Global Harmony. it was quite a shock to both me and GV sir also.
Amazing.
Because I think the information I have is that a few days back, Swami was asked for more resources for radio science. Swami just said, not now. So, suddenly out of the blue, I was given as a resource to Radio Sai. I also didn't know what Swami was saying. Then Swami called me inside, introduced me to the other people, and he said, this boy is going to work for Radio Sai. It's going to spread the Swami's message all over. And he called me inside and he said, I'm very, very happy. And you do your duty very well. And what do you want from Swami? I said, Swami, always keep me happy because that's what you want. And Swami said, yes, I will always keep you happy. You will always be happy. And that was my dramatic entry into the...
and the elders would have thought that, you know, we had asked Swami for some boy. So now Swami is acceding to our request.
I think he has so many things.
Everything has so many dimensions.
Yeah. So he just waited for the right moment. And so like he pulls the engine after attaching all the coaches. because if he had given me this previously without my asking,
yes.
But this incident where yes. I vented out my frustration inside my heart
to Ganesha
and he responded and he made sure that things fell in place. And the more interesting fact is that by the time I spent my last rupee with me, the next day, the salary from the Central Trust was in my bank account.
Wow.
So, it was amazing.
Timing.
Perfect. And he never gave me a chance to ask for any resources or financial support from anybody after that. It was always a continuous stream of, I was well taken care. And he totally lifted the burden of my thoughts. And till date, I think he has been taking care of it. So that was how I actually entered into the Radio Sai. And once in a while, Swami used to call. And when some important VIP used to come, he used to introduce saying, you know, these people are working for Radio Sai. And he used to be very proud of the whole Radio Sai activity.
Mm-hmm.
He used to introduce it with great pride that this is the team working for Radio
Sai. In fact, he even did it once in a public discourse.
Yeah, correct.
He mentioned your name and he mentioned that you work in Radio Sai.
Radio Sai.
The message is his
yes, yes. So he was very proud of this unit as he is proud of all his things. But I think he was the inspiration behind, I'm sure he is the inspiration and motivation for this entire wing. And it's a great chance. It's like very few people get the opportunity to make their passion their work.
Oh, yes.
You know,
your passion becomes your profession.
Yeah, your passion may be painting, but you may be confined to an auditor's job. So it's a great opportunity. I think
Absolutely.
Swami gave for me and for all of you that you are doing something which you really enjoy. And it's... Every day is a revelation, I think,
yes.
For you.
Absolutely.
When somebody comes and shares their experiences.
Yes.
Every experience has a new dimension to it,
Absolutely.
Has a new thrill to it. And it's a great learning experience.
It's an incomparable boon, definitely. So, tell me, Arun, how were those initial days in Radio Sai? And I think it was during that time that Swami actually came to the studio and inaugurated the facility.
Yeah,
and
correct.
You were very much there at that time.
Yes, yes. So, the initial days were really, we were a small team and we were struggling to put in the content because not much information was in the digital form and most of it was in either some tapes or Swami's discourses were all in tapes which
yes.
were getting old.
Yes.
So, we started the job of first classifying the discourses and putting them in order, making them into organized archive,
yes.
and then capturing all of them in digital format, cleaning them up. So, it was a lot of exciting work. And as we did that, I got to hear some wonderful discourses of Swami, some wonderful pieces of brilliant advice which Swami gave. So it was a revelation, you know, as you said, even work was a spiritual experience.
Yes.
Because your work was to archive, but at the same time, you got to listen to
yes.
God's voice. So we were doing all of that and Swami used to ask once in a while what is happening. The studio was still not ready. So we had
at that time you had to fill the radio with only Swami's content. I mean, Swami's his bhajans, content. His discourses,
bhajans, and yes. Once in a while, GV sir used to make some talks, and we were trying to call people for interviews. We were still figuring out what to do, how to populate it, and it was not a 24-hour radio at that point of time. We used to make playlists well in advance and send it to the World Space people, where they would upload it to the satellite, and a lot of technology was involved. And the studio wasn't yet ready.
Yes.
It was an EHV building, actually.
Yes, the
current audio recording studio was an EHV building. It wasn't designed as a studio initially, but...
That is where these satsangs used to happen,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
on education and human values.
So it was designed more like an auditorium kind of a thing. And then we actually planned out the studio, how the chamber should be, everything. We drew it with the chalk pieces, and we actually saw the studio coming up in front of us.
We saw the building transform into a studio.
Equipment coming and everything.
Yes.
And finally, one day came when we were ready with our equipment, and we could do our recording with all the latest gadgets, mics. There were some special trainers who came, who gave training on how to do a good audio recording. So lots of things were arranged by Swami. Swami was always giving directions and giving his guidance to Gopal Srinivasan, who was very instrumental in setting up the studio and getting things,
the CEO of
TVS
Electronics.
So Swami was always getting updates from him and knowing what was happening. And the day came when the studio was ready, and sir had invited Swami, please come and inaugurate the studio. So Swami had come early in the morning. He came in the car after darshan, and he spent a lot of time. He climbed up the steps slowly and absorbed every bit of the studio. He looked at every equipment. He touched every mic, and we were doing our own bit of explaining to Swami. Swami, this is this. From this, we can record bhajans. This will go live there. This is how we do the audio editing. And Swami was like, yes, yes, very good. I know. And he went to each and every corner of the studio.
Yes.
And he actually blessed each one of us, including the workers who worked in the studio. The audio trainer, as soon as Swami got down from the car, Swami immediately created Vibhuti and gave to the audio trainer. He was like, I think he had some personal experience. He had some difficulty, and Swami had spoken something to him and gave some Vibhuti, and he was totally in tears. So he recognized not only the students, actually, the people who actually worked behind the scenes. So he made everybody happy. He sat down and he gave a broad direction on how we should all behave in terms of how knowledge should be converted into skill and skill into balance and, you know.
Balance into insight, yes.
Insight. Very informal conversation. And he materialized a beautiful Rolex watch for Gopal sir. And the whole place was charged with Swami's presence. We kept recollecting, oh, Swami was here. We were hesitant to, you know, every step was sanctified by Swami. Swami. And the time he spent that day, I think, was he surcharged everything with his divine energy. And behind the scenes, it is that which is inspiring and working and making sure that today this wing has grown and he, leaps and bounds.
He perhaps also mentioned that it should grow, right?
Yes, he said, "Idi jagat vyaptamu kavali," means it has to encompass the whole world, which is in fact...
And in fact, I think if you look at Radio Sai and our activities, the way we've grown in this last, say, one decade, I don't think there's any organization in Prashantalam which has like grown so much.
Correct.
I mean, in terms of the,
exactly.
The activities, you know, because almost every 6 months, every new year, we have started one more new initiative. It is always like that. And thanks to Professor Venkatraman sir's inspiration and enthusiasm, and really Swami's blessings and the support of so many listeners and so many devotees worldwide. Were there any occasions, Arun, when, you know, you had chance to mention to Swami about any program that was being done on Radio Sai, or Swami inquired about Radio Sai, or any specific thing that you recollect about, you know, how Swami guided about any program creation or...
I don't recollect any specific instance of Swami giving a specific direction on the program, but what used to happen is once in a while, suddenly, he used to remark about such and such a program in Radio Sai.
Mm-hmm.
He had a set in his bedroom, And they never
space set.
World space.
Yes.
And we never knew when he would listen to the radio. So once in a while, I think he mentioned to me also that he heard GV sir's talk and, you know, he said like this, he said like that. So he was giving his feedback and I also got to know that he was enjoying listening to his own speeches.
Of yesteryears.
Of yesteryears. So he used to mention, I heard this, I heard that. And it was such a, you know, having God in your listener base.
That was fantastic.
That was,
but that was, of course, also it puts on you that much more greater responsibility. To do it.
Yes.
Correct. In the most perfect manner.
Exactly. And
but what else can you explain? What are the greater blessings then?
Exactly.
You have?
So that feeling that Swami could listen to the program any moment, and especially we made sure to put all nice programs in the evening when
yes.
Swami had the time to listen. So he used to give feedback on the programs once in a while. Even the heart-to-heart journal.
Yes.
Every issue we used to go and show it to him. He used to browse through the pages and he was quite involved in the whole exercise. And even GV sir used to update him that we are doing this and that. It was a fantastic experience. And he always used to club the whole thing as I mentioned, a spiritual message.
Yes.
So one day he asked me, how is the radio going on? He said, it's going on fine, Swami. And do you see the radio waves? He said, mm-hmm. No, Swami. How do you listen to the radio then? So he said, we need to have a set world space receiver. So if you have a world space receiver, can you listen to the Sai Global Harmony, Radio Sai? He said, no, Swami, we need to tune into that frequency 107 or something like that. Then only we can listen. So he said, yes. In the same way, God is everywhere. And you have to tune your body and mind to the right frequency to experience God. Just like the radio waves, he is normally invisible. But when you tune yourself to the right frequency, you will be able to experience God just like you are hearing the Radio Sai Global Harmony through the World Space Radio Satellite. So that was the analogy he gave. Such a simple thing, but such a beautiful message. I recounted this with so many people.
Fantastic. I think that is what Bhagwan was doing all the time. He was all the time ensuring that, you know, we learn how to fine-tune.
Exactly. And for him, everything is a teacher.
Everything is an instrument that can be used to give a lesson.
Yeah, I mean, you see him...
It can be a pen, a pencil.
Exactly. I think that is one of the most wonderful aspects that somebody has to research on.
Yes.
How spirituality can be taught with the things that you use daily.
Yes.
He uses a kerchief. He uses a bulb. He uses a radio. I think if we really start thinking, he has used
everything.
Small object to convey the message of
a plant,
divinity.
A creeper and an ant, everything.
Yeah, his famous example of showing the kerchief and
yes.
see, I am holding the kerchief and kerchief
yes.
is not holding me. So you have to leave it. That is one of the experiences he narrates. Or then he says, if you remove the threads,
yes.
there is no kerchief. Then it's all cotton.
Yes.
So I think he never misses an opportunity, whether it is the world space radio or even the most mundane thing. And he always conveys a message.
Fantastic. And there were occasions when if he wanted to convey something and if for example, the kerchief was not enough or the mic was not enough, he just waved his hand and he created something. Something very simple. It could be some lemon. It could be
exactly,
some corn.
Exactly. Exactly.
Something. That's, I mean, you can go on, you know, deliberating on the various facets of Swami as the Master Supreme. As a preceptor who was so unparalleled and
exactly.
so unconventional.
Exactly. His was not a classroom teaching. His was a circumstantial teaching. And he integrated his teaching with every act of his. He made it very informal. I think discourses are the most minuscule part of Swami's
yes.
teachings. The rest of the thing is
yes.
the way he conducted himself.
Right.
The way he used situations to teach you lessons and the way he related to each and every student or devotee in the ashram or anywhere else. I think it's only God who can parallelly give each one of us what is needed for us at that moment, and the scale on which he did that, the ease with which he did that, I think it's unparalleled and beyond the imagination of anybody.
Absolutely. I mean, many times I tend to think that, you know, when God comes down as a guru in a physical form, the kind of spiritual growth which would have possibly maybe taken you 10 births to achieve, it just sort of gets telescoped.
Exactly.
You experience that probably in 10 minutes.
Exactly.
The growth just happens.
Exactly. That's what he says, that this is a workshop in which, you know, he makes things right, and this is a black box. We don't know really what is happening, but at the end of the exposure, you know that something has changed, something has transformed, and now you're more confident, happy, and a person with a purpose. Once I asked, what sadhana do we need to do when we come to Swami?
You asked Bhagwan.
Yes. So Swami said, if the coal wants to become the fire, what should it do? I said, it needs to come to the fire. Automatically, it will become fire itself. So Swami said, it is like that with God. All you need to do is to be near God. When I say near, it's not near. To feel the nearness to God. When you feel the nearness to God, automatically you will start transformation. You need not do anything special. Always if you remember that God is near you, that you are near God, that nearness, that experience of nearness itself will have a transformative effect. I think that is what he kept on conveying to me when he showed his omniscience subtly. Wherever you are, whatever your thoughts, I am with you. I am with you. The very fact that you are feeling a nearness to God, I am not talking about the physical proximity. I am talking about a mental proximity. You may be thousands of miles away from Bhagwan, but if you feel his nearness always, sannidhi, I think your life starts getting transformed automatically. And even if you are just a few centimeters away from him, but if you don't really feel the nearness, then there's no transformative effect. But Swami said, all you need to do is feel that I am with you. I am near you. I am in you. And rest of it, Bhagwan will take care.
Then life will become a celebration, actually.
Yeah. So he kind of totally took out the whole assumption of effort on your part. The only effort you need to do is always have a constant remembrance of his nearness to us. And rest of it, I think he promised to take care, and he continues to take care.
Amazing. Finally, I think we've been talking for 2 hours now, and I think possibly we'll pause at this time.
Definitely.
And,
I think
we'll wait for you to come again.
That'll give me another opportunity to come back to this place. And
No, you're most welcome all the time. But I think it's, I'm really very thankful to Bhagwan and of course to you for taking time out and really sharing such priceless moments. And even if you take all the moments that you have today shared, I feel that we have only spoken about one dimension of that.
Exactly.
Experience.
Yes.
If you just take one experience and think about it deeply, we'll probably realize we'll find another 5 angles to it.
Exactly.
And 5 ways by which we can look at it and
yes.
how it can enrich us.
Yes.
And,
yes.
and that is
yes.
how fantastic it is when God comes down in a human form. Fantastic. Finally, Arun, what is now the mantra of your life?
The mantra of my life is that I strive to be happy always, and I always remember the phrase which Swami taught me in my first convocation drama, that this too shall pass, that everything that is happening in my life is an experience which is momentary, which is given by God, and that I need to live my life to the fullest extent and make my life a joyous celebration, because that is the best offering that I feel I can give to Bhagwan for all the effort that he has invested in me. So my motto is, as Bhagwan said, be happy and make others happy. It's very simple. But I think that was the most difficult things to achieve. Not that I have perfected it, but I constantly strive to fill my heart with the joy of blessings and divine guidance that God has given, and try to be happy so that people around me, my family, my friends, and society in general benefits from all the effort that Swami has invested in me. So, be happy is my motto. Make others happy is my motto.
Fantastic. I think, as Bhagwan used to say, Mi anandame na aharamu. I think the greatest tribute that we can pay to Bhagwan, the best way we can offer our gratitude to Bhagwan, as you expressed so beautifully, is if you are all the time happy, then, you know, he feels so happy. And that is what is his food. That is what he always persevered and struggled.
That's what the name, over the eight decades. He named it Radio Sai Global Harmony.
Harmony, yes.
That's what we need, harmony.
Yes. Fantastic. Thank you very much, Arun. And I hope we can meet again and dwell on his message and these fleeting moments, which are really, as you mentioned in the beginning, these are lessons for lifetime.
Exactly.
Lasting memories.
And these are lessons not only for a lifetime, but for generations to come.
Yes.
And I think by preserving this, by archiving this, and by making everything that Swami has so lovingly shared with us, generations to come will benefit from such an exercise of listening to the glory of how Bhagwan transformed each and every individual that came to him, as well as the entire earth. So I think it's not lessons for life, it's lessons for ages to come.
Yes.
I think this will be the Bible and the Bhagavad Gita and the Quran for our future generations.
Absolutely.
On how to make this wonderful place called Earth, which Bhagwan has created, a better place and a place full of joy and full of celebrating the divinity in the human being.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Arun.
Thank you very much, and look forward to come back here soon.
Oh yes, I too. I'm waiting for that.
Thank you.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, you were listening to the fourth part of the conversation with K. Arun Kumar, an alumnus of Bhagwan's University, who after his graduation in IIT Kharagpur, did his MBA in Baba's University in 2001. Later, he had the opportunities to serve Bhagwan at close quarters and also work in Radio Sai for some time. Currently, he is based in Hyderabad and is involved in the activities of the Sai organization there. This was yet another episode of our series, Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories. This was recorded on July 14th, 2013, and in conversation with him was Radio Sai's Bishop Roshdi. Do send your feedback to this program as always to listener@radiosai.org. Thank you and Sai Ram.